father actually considered sending me to Durmstrang rather than Hogwarts, you know. He knows the headmaster, you see. Well, you know his opinion of Dumbledore. The man's such a mudblood lover, and Durmstrang doesn't admit that sort of riffraff. But Mother didn't like the idea of me going to school so far away. Father says Durmstrang takes a far more sensible line than Hogwarts about the dark arts. Durmstrang students actually learn them, not just the defense rubbish we do. Hermione got up, tiptoed to the compartment door, and slid it shut, blocking out Malfoy's voice. "So he thinks Durmstrang would have suited him, does he?" she said angrily. "I wish he had gone, then we wouldn't have to put up with him."
"Durmstrang's another wizarding school?" said Harry.
"Yes," said Hermione sniffily, "and it's got a horrible reputation. According to an appraisal of magical education in Europe, it puts a lot of emphasis on the dark arts."
"I think I've heard of it," said Ron vaguely. "Where is it? What country?"
"Well, nobody knows, do they?"
said Hermione, raising her eyebrows.
Why not?" said Harry. "There's traditionally been a lot of rivalry between all the magic schools. Durmstrang and Beauxbatons like to conceal their whereabouts so nobody can steal their secrets," said Hermione matter-of-factly.
"Come off it," said Ron, starting to laugh. "Durmstrang's got to be about the same size as Hogwarts. How are you going to hide a great big castle?"
"But Hogwarts is hidden," said Hermione in surprise. "Everyone knows that.
Well, everyone who's read Hogwarts, a history, anyway."
"Just you, then," said Ron.
"So go on, how do you hide a place like Hogwarts?"
"It's bewitched," said Hermione. "If a muggle looks at it, all they see is a mouldering old ruin, with a sign over the entrance saying, 'Danger, do not enter, unsafe.'"
"So Durmstrang will look just like a ruin to an outsider, too."
"Maybe," said Hermione, shrugging. "Or it might have muggle-repelling charms on it, like the World Cup stadium. And to keep foreign wizards from finding it, they'll have made it unplottable."
"Come again?"
"Well, you can enchant a building so it's impossible to plot on a map, can't you?"
If you say so," said Harry.
"But I think Durmstrang must be somewhere in the far north," said Hermione thoughtfully. "Somewhere very cold, because they've got fur capes as part of their uniforms."
"Ah, think of the possibilities," said Ron dreamily. "It would have been so easy to push Malfoy off a glacier and make it look like an accident.
Shame his mother likes him." The rain became heavier and heavier as the train moved farther north. The sky was so dark and the windows so steamy that the lanterns were lit by midday. The lunch trolley came rattling along the corridor, and Harry bought a large stack of cauldron cakes for them to share. Several of their friends looked in on them as the afternoon progressed, including Seamus Finnegan, Dean Thomas, and Neville Longbottom, a round-faced, extremely forgetful boy who had been brought up by his formidable witch of a grandmother. Seamus was still wearing his Ireland rosette. Some of its magic seemed to be wearing off now. It was still squeaking,
"Troy, Mullet, Moran,"
but in a very feeble and exhausted sort of way. After half an hour or so, Hermione, growing tired of the endless Quidditch talk, buried herself once more in the Standard Book of Spells, Grade 4, and started trying to learn a summoning charm. Neville listened jealously to the others' conversation as they relived the cup match.
"Gran didn't want to go," he said miserably. "Wouldn't buy tickets. It sounded amazing, though."
"It was," said Ron. "Look at this, Neville." He rummaged in his trunk up in the luggage rack and pulled out the miniature figure of Victor Crumb.
"Oh, wow,"
said Neville enviously as Ron tipped Crumb onto his pudgy hand.
"We saw him right up close as well," said Ron. "We were in the top box."
"For the first and last time in your life, Weasley."
Draco Malfoy had appeared in the doorway. Behind him stood Crabbe and Goyle, his enormous, thuggish cronies, both of whom appeared to have grown at least a foot during the summer. Evidently, they had overheard the conversation through the compartment door, which Dean and Seamus had left ajar.
"Don't remember asking you to join us, Malfoy," said Harry coolly.
"Weasley, what is that?" said Malfoy, pointing at Pigwidgeon's cage.
A sleeve of Ron's dress robes was dangling from it, swaying with the motion of the train, the mouldy lace cuff, very obvious.